Stalker, Giant Stalker, Dragon Stalker, Crypt Stalker, Demon Stalker, Rift Stalker, Grom Stalker, Crypt Stalker, Scourge Stalker, Wind Runner, I'm a pony, Lead Skill Hunter, a Death Dealer, a Life Stealer, that's just the cost of being awesome.
Welcome to episode 152 of the Hunting Party Podcast. This is Frostheim from Warcraft Hunters Union, WoW Insider, and Frostheim WHU on Twitter.
And this is Euripides from WoW Insider, OTPS, and the Call to Auction podcast.
And I'm Alexander from the Hunting Party podcast.
Today is Saturday, December 1st, 2012. If you want to participate in the chat room, just type Skeleton Crew in the chat window, and you'll be prompted to register. And speaking of the chat room, we are joined today in the live chat by Akul22, iLigerWolf, Bad Language, BM Jager, Chessier, Shiami, Dryope, Elapide, Ember Melganis, Gobo, Gorbrax, Great House 2, Havdor, Hellfork the Hunter, Hotshot Gunt, Hunter Extraordinaire, Induatis, JC Sway, Kill the Lemmings, Lover Lie, Nox Itself, Primok, Rhino Banya, Schmoozenerlerett, Shawa Hunter, Slug Slinger, Snipes 25, Synth Paradox, Taekwondo, Tagurit, One, Warvinny, Wreck, Zybel, Zahara, and as always, your lovely moderator, Alisander. If you had any questions for us or for Zahara, our special guest today, or topics you would like to hear us discuss, please send them in a private message to Alisander, and she will rank your questions based on how awesome you think hunters are right now after the most recent hot fixes. So make sure you let her know how awesome hunters are. And that brings us right into, I guess, our news, which is patch 5.1 and associated hot fixes.
So I like that.
Synth, make sure you put an echo in when you post that. Thank you.
Yeah, and the whole Skeleton Crew reference was because Dark Brew's still on vacation, and I didn't think I'd be able to make the show today, but I can, unless I'm interrupted by children. That said, this is a pretty big patch that we just had for Hunters, so we should probably go over some of the changes.
Yes, and it is worth mentioning.
Oh, again. Hold on. Time out. Welcome to the show, Zahara.
That's what I was just saying, you
cunt. Did you give up on the rating?
I gave up on the rating a long time ago. Euripides has not.
No, I still raid. I raid casually. The way that my guild does it is we have a four-night crew and a two-night crew.
No, I think we're talking about the iTunes rating.
Oh, the iTunes rating. Yeah, I thought you were talking about rating. I might actually have to go and bleep that out later. I haven't noticed any recently, but anyways.
Yeah, it doesn't stop me. I think it's silly to chase ratings.
Well, not ratings per se. Just, chase the avoid the whole PG-13 rating, because I don't want people to think that we're an unfriendly podcast.
And I don't want people to think that we censor ourselves just to appeal to 7-year-olds or their mothers. So anyhow, thank you so much for coming on the show, Zahara, so you can talk to us about the sort of the mathematical predictions, hopefully, of some of these changes. And it's worth noting that, Zahara woke up in her paradise warm area that's not freezing and snowing like an hour ago to please can you come on the show?
It's been raining a bit.
it's minus 20 out where I am, and I'm pretty sure it's pretty cold where Frost is, so
I will never live anywhere like that.
it's not minus 20 in real temperature. That's like commie metric system.
Commie metric system, I like that. What would that be in an American? Minus 20 Canadian is it's got to be about, I think it's minus 32. No, 32 is freezing, right?
40 below is where they match up.
40 below is where they match up, and 32 Fahrenheit is the freezing point of water. So somewhere between 32 Fahrenheit and minus 40. So I guess that would put
sometimes
me right
around 32
that.
Around here.
Yeah. You're a guest, so I'm not going to be rude to you, but I'm going to send you a choice email later.
Sometimes it gets cold.
Blame your parents. My parents brought me here.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Hunting Party Math Genealogy Podcast.
You know, it's just to continue the tangent sidetrack. Last time I was at BlizzCon, so I guess that would be 2011. I was talking with Robin from WoW Insider, and we're hanging out at like some outdoor bar drinking, and she's like apologizing profusely for the weather, which was gorgeous. And she's like, yeah, no, but there's some clouds. And I'm like, seriously? There's some? I mean, it was like, we would consider that to be just a totally sunny day. Like the clouds, there was just like some token clouds. And she's like, no, just, you know, here, like 98% of the time, our weather is perfect. She's like, and the other 2% of the time, it's Armageddon. It's mudslides and wildfires and earthquakes.
That's not weather. That's just, anyways, we really are on a tangent. We got a lot of stuff to talk about for patch 5.0, 5.1.
First thing that I'd like to just briefly go over, once again, the patch 5.1 sort of patch note stuff that we knew was coming, which is there is no more aspect of the fox, and we can just cast Steady Shot and Cobra Shot on the run when we're in aspect of the hawk or aspect of the iron hawk. Marksman Hunters also got a Glyph of Aim Shot that lets them hard cast Aim Shot while they're moving. So totally 100% peak damage while moving if you're capable of paying attention to what you're doing. Totally awesome. Marksman also got a buff to Steady Focus, which is their ability when they cast Steady Shots in pairs. It used to be Improved Steady Shot previously. When they cast Steady Shots in pairs, they get a 15% haste buff. And that got the duration of that was extended from 10 seconds to 20 seconds, which makes it way easier to actually do without capping your focus. Additionally, Link's Rush got changed, so that's a bleed effect. The goal of this change was supposed to be to leave the overall DPS alone, but to reduce its burstiness for PvP. Careful Aim for Marksman has been buffed pretty substantially, so it now, once again, like it did way back in the day, works on targets over 80% health rather than only working over 90%. So it was a nice little DPS buff. In other news, Bestial Wrath no longer makes your pet immune to everything. And the Glyph of Solace, which replaces Icy Solace, now lets both Scattershot and Freezing Trap remove all dots when the CC is applied. So this is all the stuff that we knew was coming. We've talked about it before, and we did indeed have all of that happen.
Yeah, and I'd like to point out for the Glyph of Aimshot, I already had it. I didn't have to go out and learn it on my scribe, and I didn't have to go out and buy it on my hunter, which means I suspect that it replaced Glyph of Scatter Trap, because now Glyph of Solace affects both Scatter Trap and Freezing Trap, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes, Glyph of Solace affects both.
Yeah.
And Ice Solace is no longer.
So if you already had the Glyph of Scatter Trap, you will need to buy Aimshot.
So now the extra things that we got, like hot fixes, and including just recently, is number one, the attack power bonus of Aspect of the Hawk and Iron Hawk was increased from 10% up to 15%. So we just flat out got, I think that nets us something like 4% more attack power or something.
Mm-hmm.
But
it came out at about a 3k DPS increase when I mathed it out on a standard profile.
Is that for BM?
I think it was for all, but I'd have to double check.
Hmm.
It was in that general vicinity.
So around a 3k DPS increase. And one of the things that I want to point out, because of course, as always, anytime we talk about class balance, there is always people who say that we're god-awful and we need buffs. This happened even when we were, like, one of the top specs, which amused the heck out of me. And, of course, if we're bad, everyone agrees we need buffs. But there's always some people who say we don't. And because, of course, a lot of people have seen anecdotal evidence for their raid group or for LFR, where they're raiding with a bunch of incompetent people. And like, oh, I seem to be doing just fine. I'm top of the meters. What we saw when we looked at the overall world log meters was that hunters were a little bit below the median. If you just look at the best spec of every class, hunters were a little bit below median. It definitely looked like we need a little bit of a buff. There were other classes that were worse off than us. You know, some people are looking at like some of the Noxic rankings that show every hunter spec is the last three specs of every spec in the game. That's not what we're actually seeing in raids. We're not seeing hunters be far worse than every other spec everywhere. But I definitely felt like we need a little bit of a buff. And we got that both through the attack power increase and now most recently a Serpent Sting buff. The way the Serpent Sting change works is the damage of Serpent Sting is doubling. Just flat out, twice as much damage for your dot. And at the same time, the focus cost of Serpent Sting is being reduced from 25 focus down to 15 focus, which is a really interesting change, by the way. We'll talk about that in a second. The other related change is the improved Serpent Sting that Survival has that does direct damage when it lands. The direct damage has been lowered from 30% down to 15%. Then keep in mind, that's not a nerf. That's, you know, Serpent Sting is doing twice as much, and so that's doing half as much, which means the direct damage applied via multi-shot is going to be just the same.
Yeah, so the component of the survival AoE, which was pretty good, I mean, everybody agreed the survival AoE was in no trouble. That component, the component that was due to the initial on application dots that you were, the steady, Serpent Stings that you were putting up were, is going to be staying the same, but you're still going to have all the ticks doing twice as much damage. So it actually is a nice little buff for survival AoE.
And it's, yeah, it is, because, yeah, your AoE is going to tick for more. But also for, I think one of the most interesting things is, first of all, this is a flat-out DPS buff. Everybody always has Serpent Sting up all the time. And, hey, Zahara, do you have an idea about how much of a buff that turned out to be?
Yeah, I mathed it out, or I ran it on my site when I made the change this morning, and I think it was coming out at about a 3K increase for BM. And is that what I told you? Mm-hmm. Let me look at what I wrote down.
Yeah, that's what you told me earlier.
Yeah, so it's 3K for BM and marks and about a 5K for survival.
Which is fascinating, because first of all, that means that BM is looking at netting a total of around 6K optimally. You know, obviously what you see will vary based on your skill gear and RNG. But that means that Survival's going to see a little bit more, and Survival was not very far behind BM, so that might give us good parity. Actually, before I get into multi-dotting, what we saw the buff to like Care Flame and stuff for Marksman, which is just a flat-out DPS increase. How are the three specs looking against each other right now, according to your site?
You know, let me look. I just ran this a few minutes ago. Well, I'll get back to that.
Sure. So the other thing that I think is worth, that I think is really interesting, is the fact that they lowered the focus cost at the same time. And let's face it, you know, Serpent Sting was generally something that you applied usually once in a fight, or once per target anyway. So it's not like it needs to lower the focus to help on its damage or something. What lowering the focus really does is make Serpent Sting more viable for multi-dotting situations. And I'm specifically talking about situations where it's like, oh, we have two targets that are going to be up for a long time, or three targets maybe. And, oh, now I'm going to try to make sure that I keep dots on all the targets. Whereas before, I think actually firing Arcane Shot was basically just as good as putting a Serpent Sting up on the target. Although you could put Serpent Sting up and just switch target for a Cobra Shot, and you could roll the Serpent Stings on both. But now it's well worth it, because it's so much cheaper and it does so much more damage. So it's a really easy thing to, okay, well, you know, I got two targets. I'm going to do almost my full DPS on one target and just occasionally chuck a global cooldown and a measly 15 focus to keep that nice bonus damage of Serpent Sting going on two targets at once. This seems like a really direct intent to improve hunter DPS for those situations, which is very explicitly situations in which hunter DPS was doing bad. Those were the kind of fights that we were getting our butts handed to us on.
Yeah,
It's actually less of an impact on SV, because in a lot of those cases, those targets were close enough together that you could have multi-shot to keep two stings up anyway.
If you're survival.
Right.
Yeah, and if you're playing as BM.
The majority of people were playing as BM anyway.
Yeah, and if you're playing as BM, the optimum solution might even be to put up two stings and try and use Cobra shots to keep them up. So basically, you know, try and redirect every second or third Cobra shot to your other target and see if you can avoid spending focus, unless, of course, you're focus capped, at which point you may as well just, you know, spend some on another Serpent Sting because it's only a global instead of a cast.
Yeah, in general, that does work because I've done that before. It does work until you get to... well, obviously it doesn't work on your opener where you're doing your really tight opener, but then once you get to Bestial Wrath, then you just don't want to be casting that many Cobra shots. But it's also worth stressing that if you are playing a survival, and I know a lot of people still do, and I think particularly now that survival is going to close that gap a little bit, I think a lot of people who maybe prefer survival but were playing BM might pop over. But if you are playing survival, if they're close enough together, use multi-shot to apply the two Serpent Stings. Don't manually cast the Serpent Sting.
Now, the price of multi-shot hasn't gone down, so this focus reduction is not really going to affect survival hunters unless they're, you know, directly casting a Serpent Sting.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so if they're relying...
The value of... Right now, it was worth using multi-shot to apply Serpent Sting instead of using Serpent Sting on a single target, and I think that may have changed, but I haven't run the numbers on it yet.
Okay, yeah, but on more than one target, it's still...
Hmm?
On more than one target, it's still worth using multi-shot to apply it?
I would think so, yeah, because you're still getting the extra damage from multi-shot.
And you're getting the extra damage to both targets.
Right.
Plus you're saving, because now you're talking about 30 focus that it would cost to fire two plus two global cooldowns. So yeah, I think it's clearly the way to go for survival to hit multi-shot on multiple targets. But this is a pretty meaningful couple of buffs when you consider the fact that hunters, you know, we weren't that bad. We weren't god awful. I should point out, at the same time, there were very few fights, if any, where hunters were on top. There were a bunch of fights that hunters were doing pretty good, and some fights where hunters were doing pretty bad, but there weren't any fights where we were just the class, which sucked.
I will note that it looks like Fire Mage has got nerfed, and my history of looking up... when I look up top DPS on a lot of fights, it's just Fire Mage.
Oh my god, yes. When I was putting together the DPS analysis, it was disgusting. It was particularly disgusting after, you know, Fire Mages were on were up, or Mages, in the actual spec changed, were up there for most of Cataclysm. Like, come on, seriously? Come on, guys!
Well, we used to argue that that's because they had the legendary, but
yep, that
obviously
was the
nobody's using those now.
Well, part of the argument is that Fire Mages are, at least in DS, it was that Fire Mages' DPS was very spiky. They had very high highs and very low lows, and so that's why they would be represented more strongly, because when they had their high highs, those would be the ones that would get the ranks. But I don't know how true that is anymore.
It was, people were still making the argument. When I made the DPS analysis in the comments, a bunch of people were like, well, you got to understand, if it's a Fire Mage, you know, we're really RNG. And so sometimes we do great and sometimes we do awful, and it's only the great ones that make the meters. And I was like, whatever, that still doesn't sound very balanced to me. That to me sounds like not very good design.
Yeah, it does seem like it's a design issue. It's kind of true a little bit with BM as well, though, in that, I mean, not to the same extent, but really BM's so focused around its burst periods that when you have good burst periods, it really makes a big difference in your numbers.
If you accelerated that
and applied it to Fire Mages, you could totally see where that's going.
Right. Or if you have particularly short short fights, right, BM is going to look great.
But yes, they also had the ridiculous cleave situation going.
Yeah, Fire Mages were kind of just in the perfect situation to own stuff. So yeah, I was delighted to see the Fire Mages nerfs, and I cannot wait. And it's going to be a couple of weeks, but I can't wait for like a couple of weeks to pass so we have enough data to double check the logs and see kind of how things are shaking out, especially now with the Serpent Sting buff. I mean, this Serpent Sting buff.
Yeah, I'm forwarding all of our emails, by the way, this week to you, okay? We're going to get a lot of angry Fire Mages.
Oh, that's great. So now, Fire Mages will blame me for their nerfs as well.
Maybe they'll play Frost.
It's clearly.
If any class is nerfed, it's Frostheim's fault.
Speaking of which, you know, do I get any credit for these buffs? No, no, not a single person. Like, wow, yeah, Frostheim wrote an article about how we should get buffed, and we got buffed. That's great.
You'll get blamed anytime the nerf comes in, don't worry.
No, that happens. Like, anytime I read an article about, like, ooh, you know, our DPS is a little high. We're number one in almost every fight. That's probably an issue. We get nerfed. Yeah. God damn it, Frostheim! If you didn't say that, this wouldn't have happened.
Kind of surprised I didn't get yelled at for Lynx Rush.
Yeah, see, no, but you're Zahara. Nobody's gonna blame you for anything.
Well, I don't know, we'll see. But I was the one who pointed out that they forgot about armor.
Oh, fair enough. Otherwise, right, Lynx Rush would have turned into a buff.
Yeah, I was like looking at the numbers after I got the new formula, like, why is it so much higher?
Like, oh yeah, bleed ignores armor. Actually, Zahara was telling me this totally awesome story before we got on air that you need to tell this story on the air because there could be other hunters out there with this issue.
Which story?
Zahara was talking about somebody was emailing and complaining like, hey, my trinket, I have the Darkmoon trinket and your site doesn't support that trinket. WTF.
Yes, and it turns out the person has the strength trinket and didn't realize when they bought the trinket that they got the strength one by mistake.
Because it's called the exact same thing. The name is literally exactly the same. It's like, oh, you need the Relic of Zoon. That's the best trinket you can get. Awesome, Relic of Zoon on the auction house. Wow, that's 30,000 gold. I guess I can afford it. It's the best trinket. I'll buy it. Chink.
Yeah, I know of at least one person who found that out on my site and then reported it to a GM, and they actually were nice enough to trade them to the right correct trinket.
Well, that's really nice because those things are not easy to come by in terms of, you know.
This was last expansion.
30,000 gold. Oh.
Sometimes people will do this about other trinkets that are just like blue trinkets from the, and they're just like, this your trinket, your site doesn't support my trinket. And I go and look and it's some blue trinket that's got strength on it. I'm like, gee, I wonder why. But yeah, I can see it with the relic. It's actually a very easy mistake to make if you don't look at the item and you're just looking for the name.
I've never understood why that this is the now I under okay I understand a little bit strength and agility physical DPS users sharing the name of a trinket kind of I suppose from a programming perspective kind of makes sense, but if they could just put a dash A or a dash S at the end of it or something so that we wouldn't have this this problem, you can choose.
It could just it could just be the agile Relic of Zoon or the strong Relic of Zoon.
Right, and it could even come from the same – I mean, I'm not complaining about the fact that they come from the same actual set of cards. You know, they've only got four sets of cards, four decks that you can make. If they wanted to keep that, I'd be fine with that. But just make it so when you trade it in or when you're looking at a traded-in trinket on the auction house, it's stupid obvious which one you're getting. And maybe I think it's pretty unusual that you'd find somebody who both uses Zahara's site and accidentally bought the wrong trinket. It's a pretty unlikely.
It's not that unusual.
Really?
Because people tell their friends to come to my site when they're doing bad DPS and they, you know.
Oh, of course. I was going to say maybe you could add it to the site and you could just have a big, huge asterisk where it's saying, I'm not going to calculate your DPS with this trinket because this is the strength trinket.
It's funny that you bring that up because that's just what I said.
And I said, too much effort.
Oh, okay.
It just tells you, if there's an item that's not in my list, it just tells you that the item's not in my list. It actually doesn't know that it's what the item is. It just knows it's not in my list.
Right, so to give them a warning that you're using a stupid trinket, you have to actually put a stupid trinket in your list.
Yeah. Although I do have a note in there that reminds them to make sure they're not wearing their fishing hat or their fishing pole.
Are those listed on your site?
No, they are not. But, you know, like a lot of times people log out in their fishing hat and fishing pole, and then they'll go use the armory import, and they're like, why isn't my item on your site? It's because you're wearing the wrong item on armory.
Yeah, I've done that for PvP. Pardon
me? My tank, in my raid group, tanked Dragon Soul in a chef's hat one time.
I did that on my tank.
back in the day, there was several times when I PvP'd more, there were several times that I raided with my PvP trinket.
Yeah, I've done that by accident. Speaking of PvP, does your site pick up any of the PvP gear for DPS?
Yeah, it has PvP gear in it. I often forget to put certain items in, and periodically someone drops me an email and says, hey, you forgot this item, and I put it in. But because I don't really pay attention to the PvP gear most of the time, but I try to import most of them.
That's the thing. Okay. There's actually three or four different places you can get it now, and some of them can definitely – I mean, I'm still wearing to this day. I haven't had a chance to upgrade from the 450 blue that you can get crafted off the auction house. Yeah. It's better than what I had when I dinged. But
well,
you know,
gloves off of Shaw, and for a while they were an upgrade.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is, you know, if you do get a PvP upgrade off of Shaw, now that resilience and PvP power are not counted as part of the itemization budget, it's equivalent to an epic of the eye level that it is. It's just not itemized ideally usually. You know, it's heavy on crit, or maybe you'll have too much expertise or something. But, you know, it's the same caliber as a PvE piece of that eye level and that quality.
Yeah, the PvP gloves are actually really nice for survival, too, because you get the reduction on the Black Arrow cooldown.
That's right. In fact, I used to do that deliberately. I even had a – this is back when itemization did counting, and this was in last expansion. But at one point, I was still wearing – I was wearing my four-piece tier whatever set, and I was also wearing the PvP gloves because the PvP gloves gave me that 2%, and survival was top dog back then.
Yeah.
Sorry, the 2 seconds, not 2%.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Has it been long enough for you to pull up the relative balance of the specs?
Yeah, I have survival currently is sitting at about 2k behind BM, but you have to remember that my site doesn't support the stacking of the buffs, so it's probably bigger than that. But it's definitely better than it was.
And what's MM looking like?
Well, MM is coming out actually another 2 or 3K behind, but I think that's because the profile I'm using for MM isn't really optimized. Gotcha. I really haven't gone back and fixed that yet, so.
Sure.
I mean, if you look at the SimSea numbers, and this is before the Serpent Sting buff, it has MM above survival. I'm guessing that's no longer true, but they should be pretty close, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, one of the things that I've seen pretty consistently over the last like year or two is that MM seems to, in practice, underperform its sims by more than other classes.
I'm not sure if that's going to be as true now, because one of the big reasons for that was the difficulty in executing it well. But with the changes to steady focus, I guess it's called now, and the larger area for careful aim, and I mean most of the changes they made make it less RNG and less required to play perfectly, that the aim shot's no longer as powerful in MM as well, so it's not that different from the other specs anymore.
Well, it's also interesting that the changes also front load, I mean, by they increase MM's DPS, but they increase their front loaded DPS, so they're going to move a little bit more closer to that BM front load profile. Because now you have that 20% range where you definitely want to make sure you get both your rapid fires and stuff in to hard cast those aim shots.
And that's another one of those cooldown stacking things that I can't perfectly represent, which, because they're lined up with careful aim, and so you've got all your buffs and your procs and everything. But again, that depends on the fight, too. I've never been a huge fan of careful aim just because it's so fight dependent, but at least at 80%, it's a lot more usable than it was at 90, because the 90 just didn't last very long on a lot of fights. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great – and you know what? That's the way Careful Aim originally was. You know, let's get back to that.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of those changes. I just wish that I'm happy enough that the class has gotten buffs that I don't mind still playing BM, but a lot of people have a real affinity for BM, like they played it back in the day, and that's their favorite spec. But for me, it's probably, in terms of my rating specs, it's my least favorite. I don't like the mechanic.
It's so interesting too, because I mean, I remember playing BM all through BC, and it was a one button macro. BM is so different
still
now.
Think that's what BM is. Like, if they don't play, they're like, oh yeah, BM is the easy spec, and it's like the most annoying one to play now.
I never found BM easy since they made the changes, obviously since they made the nerfs, but you know, even last expansion and through this expansion, I've found it challenging to line everything up properly. I'm just not used to it. I don't have that internal muscle memory timing that I have for the other specs. Like, I played Survivor for many patches, many tiers, played Marksman for many tiers. So it's back and I'm learning it,
I'll be honest, I've been playing Survival because every time I go back to BM, it drives me nuts, and I've been pulling good enough numbers of survival that I keep saying I'm gonna switch this week and try and see if I can pull better numbers, but you know, then I get busy and I don't get around to it. So maybe next week. But now with the change to survival, I'm not sure I'm gonna have to, so we'll see.
Yeah, no, that's really nice. I'm really glad that, you know, they did things both to survival and marksman to increase their DPS relative to BM, while at the same time increasing everybody's DPS. So it's exactly what we were asking for in every way. We want hunter DPS to go up. We want survival and marksman to move up to get closer to BM. We wanted better multi-dotting. Whether all of it is enough, we have yet to see. But they are giving us exactly what we wanted. We just don't know, whether that knob was turned enough. But they are turning it every knob in the way we wanted them turned, unless you PvP, and then you really didn't want any knob turned.
Well, it's the selection bias too. You can't really tell until you've got enough people playing both specs for the logs to really match up.
And in PvP, ever since they fixed the bug in Arena, hunters haven't been like dominating. They've been doing well, but they're not by any means broken.
Actually, there's a really funny comment I saw. Somebody was bitching about how they ruined hunter PvP. And they're like, oh my God, and they did this, and it's just so horrible. Like, yeah, you know, before they did all of these changes, I was able to go in with my double BM comp, and we would win 11 games out of 12. And now my double BM is winning as many as they're losing.
Which is the goal. You know,
I was like, I don't think that's a failure from a design perspective. I think going in with two BM hunters and dominating everyone, I think that was a problem.
Well, on the other hand, you used to be able to do stuff like that with other specs and other classes, you know,
and double we bitched paladin, about it.
Total, yeah, we and did we bitch bitched about it. About and, it. And they said, we don't balance around twos. It's gimmicky. It's stupid. Get used to it. Play something that matters, like threes or fives or RBGs.
Actually, the 3BM comp also had some videos.
But, you know, and the issue has never been, I don't know, for PvP, people who think it's ruined are just, they like to win. They don't like to have a fair game. If you look at it from the meta perspective of, you know, what makes this game fun, if there's one clearly overpowered class that has a bug, it's just not fun for anyone. Everybody's going to play that class, and then whoever's a better BM hunter will win. The way it is now, BM is still certainly viable. You have some comps and threes that are extremely good, like, you know, the regular old comps, like KFC is the one that everybody talks about. There's also a few other variations on that you can play. And, you know, I'm not by any means a huge arena person, but I've been watching enough play going on that I've certainly been doing a lot of PvP just for fun, like casual PvP, and we're not broken. At this point, there are aspects of the class that are broken, like things that are just, you know, like, for example, Power Shot would be awesome, except it just doesn't work. Actually, I saw a quote about that. Did you want to talk about it?
Sure.
Okay. They said they'd fix it in 5.2, maybe, because unfortunately it's a client-side issue that it's just badly written, and it's probably not going to work until next season.
Wow.
Fair enough. Speaking of bugs, a lot of people have been complaining about growl bugs. Yeah. And I actually spent a lot of time investigating this, because people were reporting, basically someone was reporting growl not working in every situation. And whenever that happens, you kind of know it's not all true. So I did a lot of investigating. And there is basically one situation in which growl isn't working, and that is raid bosses, with the exception of vanilla ones, apparently. But raid bosses from BC or Wrath or what have you are immune to pet taunts, as a result of which your pet's growl will not auto-cast, and if you manually cast it, it won't taunt. I have to say, I did not solo any of those bosses in Mists of Pandaria before 5.1. So I can't speak from experience that it worked before, but many hunters are saying that they were soloing Naxx and stuff before 5.1, and growl did work as a taunt. It still works, by the way, in all the trash.
You know, I wonder if this is related to the issues that we have with growl and stampede, and whether they like did that deliberately to address on like current raid bosses.
Well, except at the same time, they were in 5.1 going back and tinkering with those other raid bosses. They were changing the mechanics of some of them to make them easier to solo, and then they were putting special pets, sprinkling them amongst a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't checked to see if any of the current raid bosses work with Pet Growl, but I do know that we've had a lot of complaints about Stampede. I know I made complaints about the fact that if you've got a growling pet in your Stampede and you know, forget to turn it off before you switch pets, you know, cast Stampede and it starts taunting.
Yeah, I think the Glyph of Stampede was their solution for that.
Well, and that was a problem for a while because of the fact that the glyph was screwing up the, you know, it was inheriting the cooldowns of the pet, but I've heard that that's been fixed. I haven't tested it myself, but there are reports that other people
I see what you're saying.
No longer doing that.
But yeah, so the growl bug, we'll have to see it. My hunch is that it maybe, but I guess I hadn't thought about the fact that it had something to do with they were messing with Stampede. My hunch was it had something to do because they were tinkering with those bosses. But then again, they were tinkering with vanilla bosses too. Vanilla bosses also got some pet drops, and the taunt works perfectly fine on like molten core bosses that I tested it on. But Growl is working perfectly fine. If you're soloing anything, trash mobs, you can still, you know, piss off your tank by leaving Growl on and pull threat off the tank in your five mans. So I mean, all of that stuff, Growl is working as it's supposed to.
As intended.
Well, and I also thought it was funny when somebody was like, oh yeah, it was horrible. Like I was doing this and Growl just wouldn't work at all. And I had to misdirect my pet and feign death. I was like, cry me a river, dude. It's been what, 2 months that we've had this ability and suddenly it's like, oh my God.
Growl has always been there, but it's just never been. They changed it to be sort of a less than taunt at one point. At one point, it added 6,000 threat, and then they changed it once more. And then I think in the beginning of this expansion, they changed it yet again to what it is now.
Yeah, actually, it was always a threat generator in the past, and now it's an actual taunt. One other announcement that I think is worth making is we did get another item in patch 5.1 named after a hunter. Which is Oddlaw's Everwalkers, named after Hunter Oddlaw from Argent Dawn, who recently passed away from cancer, I believe. And he was a very well known hunter, well respected within his server. So they put an item named after him, and the flavor text on the item says "Striding always onwards in our hearts."
Oh, that's so nice.
I thought that was nice.
Yeah, I grew a mustache for November this year to support cancer. So anything like that is always, it's always good to support.
Alrighty. Should we get into some Q&A?
I think we should.
Alrighty. Well, Rec says that hunters are so awesome now that even Sporebats strive to be like us.
It's funny because I haven't had time to go and flesh out my stables and fill it up with all the buffs and debuffs that I need. And one of the things on my list that I need to go and get is a Sporebat. I'm like, I'm going to make sure that I really appreciate this because I don't get a chance to go and tame a Sporebat very often. I will use at least one glyphed stampede of Sporebats on a rogue in PvP just to take a photo.
So his question is, what are your favorite pets and why? For me, it's the Fenstrider because I always wanted my personal tripod. Well, Zahara, what's your favorite pet? This is a question the rest of us have answered like a dozen times on the show.
Well, it depends on, you mean the favorite pet class or the favorite pet. My personal favorite pet is my pig Spike, which I've had since level 10. And I actually got to raid with him the other day. It was kind of a nice change of pace. I missed him. But I think my current favorite looking pet is the porcupine. They're really cute.
All right. So Primok, who is going the opposite direction of Rec, says hunters are awful, not awesome. Ooh. Question. Am I being played for a fool running Gate of the Setting Sun every day for Klaatith, Fangs of the Swarm? 50 plus kills, never seen a hint of it dropping. Yet the drop rate on that is insanely low.
What is this?
It's the best ranged weapon that you can get from five mans. And it's one of those teeny tiny drop chance things.
Is it a equivalent to a Raid Finder Epic? 476?
God darn it. You're talking about the one in, what is it, Gate of the Setting Sun?
Yeah.
I think you have a much better chance of just going to LFR and getting a new weapon.
I was going to say, yeah, because I know people who farm LFR for the weapon and, well, farm. I mean, I'm sure there's only a few places you can pick
it's
one
a four,
up.
And, it's a 476 item.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah, honestly, five mans are so accessible that they don't like to make drops something incredible. Like, they wanted to make weapons a challenge, not just for PvE, but for PvP as well. So, you know, there's no honor version of any weapon anymore. Actually, there never was. And, you know, the ones that you can buy in the auction house is a 450 blue, but, you know, that's not that good. I mean, you can get that from a quest too, I think. Once you get past that 450 blue, in order to progress, they want it to be a challenge. They want you to have to work for it. And so they don't like putting – they like gating the ones in the five mans, which are accessible, behind really low drop rates. The ones in LFR are not as low, but obviously you can only do it once a week. The ones on
and
the
black market auction house. You can always spend your elder coins, though, to have a chance at getting some extra gold.
It's one of the best places to spend your coins.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I've never gotten anything but gold from those, but yeah.
I actually got a weapon for my warrior last night on one.
Oh, really?
It's the only drop for the week.
But I mean, to answer your question, it's equivalent to farming a boss for one of the rare mount drops. It's the kind of thing that if you kill the boss 100 times, you'll have something close to a 50-50 chance of having seen it once.
I think there's an epic off of every heroic instance, is that correct? A different kind?
I'm not sure. Or at least a lot of them have stuff. One, I know. I'm really only familiar with hunter stuff, so.
Well, I know that there's like a staff in Skullo that I've been threatened about before when I was on my shaman. They're like, if you roll on that, I'm going to kill you. And, you know, there's a weapon, I think there's a mace from Jade Serpent. So I'm guessing there's something from each one. And I've never seen a single one of them drop personally, so I think the drop rate's pretty well. Because I do a lot of rocks.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, WoW had listed the drop rate as like 0.75%, which seems unlikely. My hunch is it's probably a 1% drop rate, which would mean if you ran it 100 times, you'd have like a 67% chance of seeing it. But it's, yeah, I mean, it's don't count on it. If you want to just say, hey, I'm going to run this every day, why not? I'll get some justice points and maybe I'll see the drop. That's cool. But yeah, do LFR to get your weapon.
Yeah, and in addition to LFR, if you're doing, you know, 50, 100 runs of a specific heroic when you could be doing something else, remember the Black Market Auction House occasionally gets that 476 epic gun. It's the only place you can get it is the BMAH. I picked mine up for a lot more than it's worth because I wanted to make sure that I had it for a raid, but you can usually get them for as low as 30 or 40,000 gold. And I know that's not I know that's not the kind of money a lot of people have hanging around, but first of all, that's the same price as the Relic of Zuin on most servers. And if you compare the amount of time you spend running that dungeon, that five man, 100 times, you could easily make that just by killing, you know, if you spend all that time doing nothing but killing mobs and looting them, you'd have that much money, I think.
Is the relic still going for that much? On our server, it's down to like 15k, I think. No, and ours is a really cost, high pop.
It's still around 30k on my server.
Really high pop servers are going to be, they're going to be a little bit lower. The mats are, I don't know, I guess maybe 5 or 10, depending on how much waste you have and how much herbs cost. But the other thing to remember is that the drop rate on herbs and ore has been drastically, like, it's been halved. So whatever the prices are now, they're going up.
Well, you know, the other thing is people can farm herbs. And in fact, that's what I do on most of my characters is I use my farm for herbs. And I think it's one of the most cost-effective uses of the farm.
Maybe. It depends on what you can do with spirits of harmony. Spirit.
Yeah, if you can't use spirits for something, though, I think it's the best option. I actually got 5 golden lotus on my hunter yesterday from her farm.
Golden lotus from herbs.
Yes.
Oh,
it actually gave me 5 out of my 16 plots.
Huh, that's pretty lucky.
Yeah, I think so.
I can use a spirit of harmony with a blacksmith to make money. So it's the kind of thing where it's not worth it for me. But I mean, even if all you do is just, you know, farm vegetables and turn them into, you know, the black pepper or one of those other iron paw tokens for making feasts. You know, you'll be able to eventually get things like this relic and get things like this gun on the black market auction house, you just got to keep an eye out for it.
Yeah.
So unless he's specifically interested in Klaatith just because he wants that particular one, that's a different story.
Yeah, that Let's I don't. See. Good luck.
kill the Lemmings says, are we going to see our numbers go up or down in 5.2?
Well, let's roll the dice.
hold on.
Well, obviously up, unless we get so high, they have to nerf us.
I have a mathematical way of determining this.
You happen to have dice right next to your computer, of course.
Yeah, we don't even know what's going to happen in 5.2. We haven't even seen what the sort of raid DPS balance, how that's going to be changed. Yet by the patch 5.1 and the hot fixes after patch 5.1. So, I mean, at this point, not even Blizzard knows the answer to this. Right now, the answer is, well, let's see how things go. Let's see how things are looking now. And, you know, yeah, like I said, it's going to take a couple of weeks for us to know that info.
You're just having fun with those now.
I'm putting them away
now. Good times. So Nox itself writes, why does the Link Rush bleed only stack to 9? Now, I forget. I read it, but I forgot the exact number. What's it supposed to stack to?
9.
There are 9 attacks, so that's probably why.
Yeah. Issue is if you readiness and redo it, you have to wait. And then the result is you can't get 2 Link's Rushes in your little 30-second opening burst window anymore.
Oh, well, that sucks. What about 200? Yeah, I mean, can you apply 2 debuffs with 9 each?
I'm pretty sure, yes.
Sure hope so.
Well, given that the reason they changed it was to, I'm sorry, can you put 2, you mean multi-target?
No, like 2 different hunters on the same target can both use it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be separate. But I'm pretty sure since the purpose of changing Link's Rust was to reduce the burst, they probably didn't want you doing 2 back-to-back like that.
That's a good point. It's probably basically a way to take Link's Rush. This is perfectly phrased. They want to reduce burst, so they're going to let you get full use out of 1, but they don't want you to put them back-to-back.
So how long, I'm going to have to go and test this.
There is some debate on whether you should wait until it ends and restack, or you should cast it at that last tick, though.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure.
Do they all fall off at the exact same time, or do they fall off at a time? Do they all fall off at the exact same time, or do they all fall off?
Yeah, I mean it's a stack. So you've got 9 stacks, and then you know on that last tick, you can either cast Link's Rush then and basically get 1 extra tick. Normally, you get 1 tick at 7 stacks, and the other ticks are all at 9 stacks. And if you cast it before it falls off, it won't have to stack to 9. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, there's a good chance of a parry. And so you might not get 9 stacks off the first, so that's another argument for when you might want to use it earlier. But I'm not sure the difference is enough to even really worry about.
Okay. Well, it's good to know that if I... You know, I'm almost thinking that this might not have been deliberate, because it wasn't written anywhere that this is an intended, part of the change. It sounds like they wanted to spread your damage out by making it a nice long dot, a bleed, but they didn't. Nowhere did they say we also are making sure that you don't double them up. I think that might have just been. I mean, again, it's in the same direction as the overall change, so they probably won't revert it, but it might not have been intentional.
Yeah, I mean, if it was unintentional, it's the kind of thing like, oh, hey, we didn't mean that, but that works, sweet.
Things are balanced now. We ain't changing it back.
Well, I mean, there were so many factors involved in why Link's Rush was so powerful in that, short window that, I mean, it's possible they didn't intend to catch them all, but I would be surprised if it didn't come up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing to remember is if you're ever working on more than 1 target, even in PvP, for example, any class with a pet, like a mage or a warlock or another hunter, you can cast it and you'll get your full benefit if you cast them back to back, because if there's 2 targets, they're probably going to get, 4 or 5 each. So,
right.
So with the sort of, as we're getting toward the end of our time, so what are you guys' predictions on,
how these changes will overall affect the state of Hunter raid DPS balance. And how do you think we're going to do going forward?
I'll let Sahara go first.
I mean, obviously it's going to help. It's really hard to tell how much, because most of the problems, I think, have been with the fight mechanics and whether we were strong at those fight mechanics. So the Serpentine change is more interesting on that front. I'm interested to see what happens there. But that's also going to take some adjusting, I think, for hunters, because most of us are not really that used to multi-dotting. So people will have to start adjusting to that.
On the other hand, that's the multi-dotting, and particularly like rolling a couple targets, is it's a tricksy skill. Although, you know, we did something similar back in Wrath with rolling two Serpent Stings with Chimera Shot. But I think if you can just go to survival, it's much easier. Like, oh yes, every now and then, I'll multi-shot.
Well, it depends on the fight too, because like on some fights the targets are together and some fights they're separate.
Yeah, I personally think that Hunter DPS is going to be looking pretty good. I don't know everything that they did with other classes, but I'm delighted to hear about Fire Mage nerfs. And don't get me wrong, if it turns out that Fire Mages really are that swingy, I hope they do something to reduce the swinginess.
Yeah.
Because I do think that that's a potential design problem, but I'm here to care about Hunters, and...
we have a Fire Mage in my group. I worry about her too.
I'm delighted that that we saw that nerf, which will help bring things into line. I mean, I really don't think there's any danger of this making hunters overpowered. We're not seeing a huge swing upward. We're not going to be leading things, but I think this is, you know, the multi-dot thing giving us a little bit more strength, and we'll have to see how that plays out. With a multi-dot thing giving us a little bit more strength in certain situations where we were particularly weak. And survival getting a bit more competitive, everything, and we weren't that far behind. I think this is enough to put us a little bit above median. That's going to be my prediction. We're going to be a little bit above median. Plenty of hunters will still complain about our DPS, but as we saw, that happened even when we were number one back in like early Cataclysm. But I think we'll be a little above median. And the other swinger is, when we did talk to Roger Brown from Method, remember he said the next batch of fights were going to be looked like fights that were actually really good to hunters.
Yeah. Also, speaking of which, Dark Brew has said that he's planning on making that available tomorrow, I think. So on for download for people who weren't there.
Oh, the post show, yeah.
Yeah. So, we did have one other question that we should probably go over. If you do you see it then and there? You got it. Do you think we have time for that, Frost?
The Synth Paradox question?
Yep.
Yes, Synth Paradox says, what is the status on the Hunter Music Kickstarter? Any updates? Yes, as those people who were here for the pre-show unannounced music going on, they actually got to hear one of the songs. Yeah, I'm hoping this week to start posting them. I'm kind of being a D-bag, and I'm sitting on some of the songs right now because there's like an order. I kind of as they started coming in, the what I think is going to be by leaps and bounds the coolest and awesomest song, the Hunter Community song. That one was the first one that was done, completely done. And I didn't want to release that first. You don't want to start with the bestest one. You want to, oh, here's this one, here's this one. No, an awesome one! Here's another one. Both are also completely finished the Hunter Love song, and I'm this weekend going to just put together the video for that, which is what these screenshot things are about. The Hunter Open collab, Balthazar gave me what sounded like a pretty much done version, but he didn't call it the final version, and I'm not allowed to play anything until he says, yes, this is final and can go public. So I expect he'll probably have that done this weekend. So three of the four songs will probably be completely done this weekend, and which means this week, in theory, I should be able to release all three of those. But then we'll probably have to wait a couple weeks for that last song. Because Balthazar, you know, of course, has been having some conflicts with other projects he's working on.
Well, just in time for Christmas. So,
yes, good chance of three of them getting posted this week.
Cool. Awesome. In answer to the earlier question, I think that the overall DPS of, I mean, it's pretty obvious what they did. They just took, a big swing at the middle of the class and said, let's move them all up a little bit just so that we can have them closer to the top as a pure DPS. They were playing whack-a-mole with the top specs of other classes to try and get it so that everybody's a little bit closer to each other on the logs. And I think that's just how they balance things. I'm glad to see that they do acknowledge that we were in trouble, because they're, we're not, vehemently foaming at the mouth for, increases like you would expect
No,
when,
and that's actually,
like we have done in the past.
right, and actually that's a good point. It's not like, like I keep saying, we weren't doing horribly. And sometimes it's only the people who are way down at the bottom and way up at the top that get adjustments. So I was very happy that we did get some love.
They've gotten a lot
Yeah,
better
and
at this stuff. They talk more to the community. They try to look more at what's going on. They've gotten better at making the tweaks in reasonable fashions, I think, and not doing so many pendulum swings.
yes, yes. I'm very happy that we're seeing more like nudges and less, mallets.
Yep, absolutely. Anyways, let's go ahead and do our outro because I know you're on a fixed schedule, Frost.
Yes.
You have been listening to episode 152 of the Hunting Party Podcast. This is Euripides from WoW Insider, out DPS, and the Call to Auction Podcast. And that's your line.
Alexander.
No, Frostheim.
I don't know. I'm looking at the outro, and you don't have any lines in the
I
outro, so I'm
don't,
not
so I stole yours. I was hoping you'd just pick that up and just keep going and say, and this is
sure.
Frostheim from.
I figured we'd let Ollie go next, but that's fine. I don't have to be a gentleman. I'll just step in. You can get behind me. You can look at
Zahara,
my
go.
ass. It's a good
Zahara,
view.
say
This
something,
is
Zahara.
Frostheim from Warcraft Hunters. We can never do an outro. This is
We
Frostheim
can.
from Warcraft Hunters Union, WoW Insider, Frostheim WHU on Twitter.
And I've seen your ass, not, outside of the pants, but it's nothing that's special, nothing to write home about.
Oh, then you haven't seen nothing. It just gets better and better.
This is Allie's line. Oh, maybe she's AFK. Okay, well, in any case,
Let me put her to sleep.
yeah, we must have. You can check us out on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, and if you don't use any of that stuff, we have a regular RSS feed that will be available on the show notes.
And if you like us, please don't be shy about leaving us a review on iTunes, especially when we mentioned how uncommonly good-looking Frostheim is, or taking just a little moment of your time to click the like button directly below the chat room.
You can submit a title for this week's show by emailing us at huntingpartypodcast@gmail.com, and you will get your name professionally mangled on the air by professionals. So,
Professionally
oh,
mingled by professionals.
did I say it twice? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Anywho, don't forget to spare or neuter your feral druids.
And don't forget to pay your dues.
Yeah, I
For the
went mod
Alliance!
modified.
For the Horde.
Thank you, Zahara, so much for coming on the show and
Always fun to
walking
come.
us through some of the math.
Yeah, that
Just a
was
reminder for
really appreciated.
people, I did get the item upgrade stuff up on the site in case anyone wants to test the item upgrades.
Oh, awesome. So you can now go ahead and, but I gotta say, I was so delighted to see that everything was going to be upgradable. Because
Yeah.
I had a conversation with someone in my guild who was, I was like, oh God, the Relic of Zune costs this much, but man, it's best. I was like, oh, I would never pay that much for an item that you're just going to replace as soon as you step into a raid. And I'm like, no, it's better than raid gear. Like, whatever, you'll replace it next year anyway. I'm like, I'm not sure about that. This is like Darkmoon greatness, man. That thing was around for 2.5, 3 tiers.
I don't know if they're going to make the items upgradable like for the next tier or not. It'll be interesting to see about that. But at least for now, it's one of the first things everyone's putting their upgrades into.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to decide what to upgrade first, if you have a good ranged weapon, upgrade that.
Yeah. That mapped out at like it was 800 DPS increase for each level on my ranged weapon.
Yeah, so I mean, if you have a good ranged weapon, that is absolutely the first thing you upgrade. But after that, a good way of ballparking it is just look at the itemization budget, right? You want to upgrade legs and chest before you're upgrading hands and waist, right?
Yeah, high itemization is definitely the way to go.
Since there's no since the
the cost to upgrade is a flat fee. Oh man, this is totally something we should have talked about on the show. I didn't even think.
Yeah, I didn't think about it till afterwards. I was like trying to figure out like the other day too. I was like, I was gonna have enough Valor this week to buy the helm, which is the last Valor upgrade that would have been worth getting for me. And then I sat down and compared it to spending that same Valor on three item upgrade levels on my gun, and the bow, and my trinket, and the bow and the trinket totally won.
Yeah. So. The short version is, if you're trying to figure out what to upgrade your ranged weapon before anything else, go to femaledwarf.com and see what's best.
Well, it's a combination of what's best and how likely you are to replace it soon, really.
Mm-hmm. Excellent point.
Life stealer, that's just the cost of being awesome sauce. I'm a dues payer, a boss slayer. I rock out with my life. I can jump shot, BM, MM, and SV. I can rock out any tree. Never worried about my threat, cause I've got FD and misdirect. Catching loose mobs in my traps, I never miss. I'm the hunter, not the marked. I'm the fighter, not the spark. I'm the kiter, not the kite. I'll top and meters every fight. Made an end game dealing death. Just me, my gun, and my trusty bed. Now let's begin with Illidan, Osirian, and Kil'jith. Magdemar, Ascalor, Gruul, C'Thun, and Razor Gore. Onyxia to Ragnaros, which one have we killed the most? Kel'Thuzad to Maligos, we even killed Akama's ghost. Feels like we're getting close, all that running as a ghost. Anubarak, Yogg-Saron, Therion, Sartharion, Magthyrodon, Sapuron, Sauron to Sulphuron, Archimon, Amalon, Coromon, Algalon, the faction champions, the Death Toll.